longer being recorded.
Okay.
This conference will now be recorded.
I am recording as well. Okay. Could everyone hear me? Just to make sure, because okay. So this year has been sponsored Lezecher Nishmas Tema Bas Moshe Aryeh Alei Hashalom by the Well Galanter family. The neshama should have an aliyah. Thank you very much. the title of this year is Chazaka Shliach Oseh Shlichusai. That there's a presumption, there's an assumption that if someone agrees to do something for you, we can rely on the fact that he did it, right? He promised he would do it. We can rely on the fact that he would do it. It's a chazaka. There's a status. There's an assumption that a shliach is oseh shlichusai. So we're going to learn the sugya that discusses this. We're actually going to see some examples from the Gemara. We're going to see it's a machlikus in the Gemara when we can rely on this. And then we'll see some very interesting out-of-the-box applications of this chazaka in the later poskim. So just to start off with sort of like a shocker, just a shocker to get people's attention. There's a very interesting Gemara in Maseches Nazir on Daf Yud Aleph Amud Beis. Omer Rabbi Yitzchak Bar Yosef, Omer Rabbi Yochanan. Rabbi Yitzchak Bar Yosef says in the name of Rabbi Yochanan, Ha'omer L'Shluchai. Someone says to his agent, Tzei B'Kadesh Li Isha Stam. He sends someone off into the big wide world and he says, marry a woman to me on my behalf. Whoever you want, whichever woman is willing to marry me, I want you to marry her to me. So I'm not even going to know who the woman is. I'm sending you off, and whoever agrees to marry me, you should perform the Kedushin on my behalf. So says the Gemara, Asur b'kol hanashim shiva oilam. Once the person did that, so he shot himself in the foot, so to speak, because he can no longer marry anyone. Why? So the Gemara says like this, and this is why I brought in this Gemara. Chazaka shliach oseh shlichusai. Number one, you have to assume, we're mechuyev to assume, we're required to assume that the agent performed his shlichus, was successful in his shlichus. We're obligated to assume, l'chumra, that the agent was successful in his shlichus. V'kivin d'loi parishlei, since I didn't let you know which woman I want to marry, so I don't know which woman I'm married to. So Rashi explains, so what? Back in the old days, you could marry more than one wife. So why can't you just marry a second wife? So Rashi explains, that this man is stuck. He can no longer marry anyone, because if he goes and marries the girl across the street, Dilma zuhi ima oibita oyachoisa shel oisi isha shikina shel shlufai. We have no idea who the shliach performed the kedushin with on my behalf. So I can't marry anyone. Maybe if I marry the girl next door, maybe she will be the sister of the woman who the shliach was successful in marrying. Maybe it's the mother of the woman who the shliach married. Maybe it's the daughter of the woman. So we're talking about a case where you obviously can't find out. They didn't have cell phones back then. So the man was stuck. He can't marry anyone. Now, the obvious question is that how can anybody marry anyone? Because back in the day, the father, it was very common for the father to accept Kedushin on behalf of his daughter. So it's conceivable that the woman herself doesn't know that she's married. Maybe her father accepted Kedushin on her behalf. So I don't know who I'm married to, and it's very possible that the woman out there is even unaware that she was married at all. So this man really created a lot of problems. So he can't marry anyone, and I'm asking you, how is any woman allowed to marry anybody else? So Tosfos explains, this is a Tosfos in Gittin, and it's also a Tosfos in Nazir, that me'ikar hadin it's mutter. Tosfos says that this whole Gemara is only a knas. It's a penalty for acting recklessly, acting cavalierly with Kedushin. That's not the way to get married, to send off a shliach and have her marry anybody she wants, not knowing who the woman is. That's not the proper way to get married. So Tosfos says that it's only a penalty for two reasons. Number one, Kiven de'ein biyad ashliach l'kaddish, since the agent can, it's not totally up to him, because after all, he has to find the woman who's willing to marry me. It's not totally up to him. It's not as if I sent you off to do something that is totally within your ability to accomplish. You have to find an eligible girl who's prepared to get married. So there's not such a chazak. So this is something we have to bear in mind, that we cannot rely on the chazakah of a shliach oisei shlichusai if it's not totally biyad the shliach, if it's not totally within the hand, within the power of the shliach to perform his mission. Automatically, we can't really rely. That already creates a doubt. We cannot automatically rely. So Tosfos is qualifying the chazak. We're going to come back to this later. The second reason why it's only a penalty and it's not a real halacha, says Tosfos, because we would be allowed to follow the majority. You go baser roiv. We follow the majority. We know that we can follow the majority. And it's safe to assume that most of the women left in the world are not related to the woman who this shliach might have married. So therefore, you could marry the girl next door because chances are she's not the sister of the woman who the shliach married. So number one, let's just summarize. The Gemara says if a person recklessly sends out an agent, marry any woman you find to me, so the halacha would be, I am no longer allowed to marry anyone. The reason stated is because any woman might be one of the relatives, one of the forbidden relatives, the sister, the mother, the daughter, might be one of the forbidden relatives to the girl who the shliach married to me. Says Tosfos that it's only a penalty, it's not a real halacha, because for two reasons. The first reason is because you don't have the chazakah if it's not completely beyond the shliach to perform his shlichus. And that's something that's relevant to our discussion. The second reason that Tosfos says is not so relevant to our discussion. The reason why it's technically mutter and you can ignore the fact that you sent out a shliach is because most of the women in the world are not related to your wife. Even assuming that the shliach was successful, chances are that this girl is not related to your phantom wife, whoever that girl is, whoever the wife is, and therefore you would be allowed technically to marry a second wife. Let's bear in mind the clause that Tosfos, the qualification that Tosfos just gave us, that you can't rely on the shliach if it's not totally within the wherewithal, within the hands of the shliach. Okay. Now this chazaka, that a shliach oisei shlichusai, we can presume that the shliach fulfilled his shlichus successfully, is actually a gemara in Erevin, and the gemara has a dispute about that. The question in Erevin was that I want to set up an Erev tchumen. That means that I have reason to leave my city and walk an additional 2,000 ames, about 2 kilometers beyond the city limit. So I normally wouldn't be able to do that. So Rav Shlomo, back in those days, you would be allowed to marry two wives. It was only a takana of Rabbeinu Gershom. We're actually going to come back to that, Rav Shlomo. That's a good question. Now, there's a Gemara in Erevin. If I send an agent off to lay down the Erev Tumen for me, so I don't have time to go out myself, but I ask you, would you mind going out to the city limit and putting down a jar of pickles or a challah, something that can be established as my Erev Tchumen, because I have to go out tomorrow to visit somebody who lives 4,000 amos away. So the Gemara says there that you're allowed to rely on the shliach. You're allowed to assume the shliach did this. So there's a chazakah that the shliach said he would do it. You can assume he did it. There's a machlekes Rav Nachman and Rav Sheshes, if you can rely on this chazaka shliach oisei shlichusai when it comes to a deraisa. And we're going to give examples. Erev tchumen, the concept of a tchum, is only rabbinic. The prohibition to walk out of your 2,000 amos is only rabbinic. So we can rely on the chazaka that the shliach performed to shlichus. But if we're dealing with a mitzvah deraisa, where you really have to make sure you perform the mitzvah properly, or to avoid a prohibition, and we'll see examples as they come up, can you rely on the chazak? So Rav Nachman says, "Bishal Torah ein chazak shliach oisei shlichusai." This is an item gimel. Rav Nachman says you cannot rely on this chazaka when it comes to matters of deraisa, biblical matters. That's Rav Nachman's shita. Only the Rabbanan, only in the example that the Gemara gave, you can rely on the Shliach that he performed the Erev Tchumen, because the prohibition of Tchum is only rabbinic. But when it comes to the Rises of biblical law, then the Chazakah is not strong enough to rely on. Rav Sheshes says, on the other hand, Echad Zeh V'Echad Zeh, whether it's the Rabbanan, whether it's the Raisa, Chazakah Shliach Hoseh Shluchusai, you're totally allowed to rely on your friend. Your friend said he would do it, you sent off an agent. You're totally allowed to rely on the agent that he indeed performed his shlichus, he did what he said he would do, and therefore you can rely on that even for biblical halacha, even for deraisa matters. We'll see examples as they come up. Now, in item Dalid, we have some proofs. The Gemara gives us some examples. Omer Rav Sheshes minu aminu. Rav Sheshes says, this is all the Gemara in Erev. Says Rav Sheshes, how do I know that you can rely on a shliach even when it comes to deraisa? So the Gemara talks about the Isser of Chadash and Yashan. So we know that in Eretz Yisrael, for sure, this is actually part of the Hashkacha, that you're not allowed to eat Chadash. You're not allowed to eat any grain, any of the five grains that took root after the second day of Pesach. So if something would be planted right now, it's after Pesach. If something would be planted now and it takes root and it starts growing, you would not be allowed to eat that grain until the second day of the following Pesach, till next year. So people who actually keep this prohibition of Chadash, it's a question if you have to keep it in Chutz La'aretz, outside of Eretz Yisrael, there are leniencies. But those that are careful to keep this halacha, so they actually, you can tell on the packaging when it was harvested and processed and packed based on the shelf life, and you're able to tell backwards, retroactively, when it was harvested. Was it harvested from the winter crop? Was it harvested from the spring crop? And you can tell by the dating on the package if it's Chadash or if it's Yashar. So the halacha is, the Gemara tells us, that in the times of the Beis HaMikdash, when they brought the Omer, they brought the barley offering that permits the consumption of Chadash on the second day of Pesach. So it says that the people living close to the Beis HaMikdash, so they would immediately know when the Kohanim brought the Korban Omer, and they can go home and eat. They can start eating their Chadash immediately. However, the Rechoikim, the people who live further away, who are unaware, did the Kohanim bring the Omer yet? Did they not bring the Omer yet? So the halacha is they can assume from Chatzos Hayom Ve'elech, they can assume from midday at 12 noon, they can all take out their cereal, or they can take out their oatmeal, or they can take out their new bread, whatever their new produce was, and they can start enjoying their new produce. Guaranteed. The Beis Din told everybody that you can rest assured by Chatzos, by midday, you can rest assured that we certainly will have already brought the Korban Omer, and you can go ahead and eat and enjoy your Chadash. So what do you see from there, says Rav Sheshes? You see from there that we, living in the outskirts of Eretz Yisrael, outside of Yerushalayim, or even those who keep Chadash and Yashan in Chutz La'aretz, we can rely that the Kohanim would certainly have brought the Omer by Chatzos. So says Rav Sheshes, you see from here that human beings are reliable. You can rely, there's a Chazakah Shliach Oseh Shluchusai, you're allowed to rely on the Shliach, you can rely on the Kohanim that they performed, that they did their job, and you can eat the Chadash. But Chadash Doi Raisa, Chadash is the Raisa from the Torah, and it still says we're allowed to eat the produce from Chatzos and on. That's when the Kohanim told us that it'll be brought by then. We can assume, we can rely on the fact that it was done. Rav Nachman argues and says it's not a proof because the Kohanim in the Beis HaMikdash were under the supervision of a Beis Din. A Beis Din is certainly reliable, so that's different. That's not your average Joe Schmo that you sent an agent out to perform a shlichus. This is a Beis Din in the Beis HaMikdash. And if they guarantee that the Omer will be brought by Chatzos, you can certainly assume that it was brought by Chatzos. That's Rav Nachman's rebuttal. But you can't assume that an average person fulfilled his shlichus if he's not serving in the capacity of a Beis Din. Now, then the Gemara goes on and flips it. According to the second version, Rav Nachman proves that you normally cannot rely on a shliach because it's only regarding the Omer where there's a Beis Din, because it says in the Braisa Ein Bezdin Misatzlin, that a Bezdin would never be lazy and a Bezdin would never be lax in fulfilling their duties. But an average person, we can infer, an average person, you cannot rely on. So the Gemara flips it and says, maybe it's a proof to Rav Nachman, because the Gemara specifically says that it's only because it was a Bezdin that you can rely that the mission accomplished. But when it comes to an average person, it would seem that you're not allowed to rely on that when it comes to a Derisa. But Rav Sheshes gives a brilliant answer. Rav Sheshes answers, no, you know why the Brisa stresses that it was a Bezdin? Because the Brisa is allowing you to eat the Chadash at midday, in the middle of the day. An average person, you can't assume that he performed his shlichas tekefu miyad immediately. The Bezdin, you can even assume that they performed their shlichas in the earliest time possible, which was by Chatzos. So we learn a lot of things from this correspondence between Rav Nachman and Rav Sheshes, this back and forth, this debate. Number one, we see that Rav Nachman says that you can't rely on a shliach for deraisa. A Bezdin you can rely on. Rav Sheshes says, no, you would be able to rely on everyone, even an average person. But the reason, what was unique about the Bezdin was because an average person, you can't rely on the fact that he performed his mission immediately. Only a Bezdin you can perform, you can rely on the fact that they performed their shlichas immediately. But the average person, you would have to give him the whole day. So we have over here, Rav Nachman says you cannot rely on a shliach for deraisa, only for something rabbinic like Erev Tchumen, but not when it came to Chadash. It's only because it was a Bezdin. Rav Sheshes says, no, you can always rely on another person, even for a deraisa. What was unique about the Bezdin was that they get the job done immediately. The average person, you would have to give him the entire day. Now, there's an interesting Gemara in Cholin. The Gemara in Cholin on Daf Yudbeis Amud Aleph says, Boy mine Rav Dimi Rav Yosef Rav Nachman. Rav Dimi Bar Yosef asked Rav Nachman, what happens if you say to your shliach, you say to your friend, would you mind going out to the pasture? I have my animal there. Would you please shecht the animal for me? Because you're a shoychet. Would you please shecht my animal for me? That's one scenario. There's another case where I say, I have a whole pile of grain in my silo. Would you mind go out to the silo and separate the truma and the meiser in order to permit the produce, because I want to go eat the produce. Maybe I don't know how to take off the Truman Meiser. So I'm going to ask you, would you please go and separate the Truman Meiser properly? So I still want to give it to the Kohen. I want to be the one to distribute it to my Kohanim friends. So leave the Truman next to the pile, and we'll see. I'll know that you took off the Truman. So the Gemara says, if I go now out to my pasture and I find that the animal was shechted, I can assume that the shliach would, that the animal was shechted properly. However, if I go out to my silo and I find that indeed there's a pile of truma next to the silo, I'm not allowed to assume that the shlichus was fulfilled and I'm not allowed to eat the produce. I have to double check with the shliach. I have to get his text. I have to send him a text, or I have to call him on his cell phone and find out if he indeed was the one who separated the truma. So the Gemara is perplexed. The Gemara says, what's the difference between the shechita and between the truma? It was the same case. I sent you off to shecht the animal for me, and I sent you off to separate the truma. And the Gemara paskins that when I go and find the animal shechted, I can assume that it's kosher. But when I go and find the produce tithed, I can't assume that it was done, even though it seems like it was done because there's a pile of produce next to the bigger pile. What's the difference? So the Gemara says something very interesting. The Gemara says, when it comes to shechita, we have a principle, roiv mitzuyin etzel shechita mumchen heim, that nobody would dare attempt to shecht unless they were an expert. So what that means is, what the Gemara is answering is, really, shliach does not perform his shlichas. Really, you cannot rely on the shliach. And this is Rav Nachman talking. We know that Rav Nachman holds like this anyway. You cannot assume without double-checking that the man performed the shlichus. The reason why you can eat the shechted animal is because, worst-case scenario, even if somebody else shechted the animal, we can assume that it was shechted properly anyway. So if I go to my pasture and find the animal shechted, that's not sufficient grounds that you yourself were the ones who shechted, that the agent shechted it. Because for all we know, somebody overheard my wishes and got there first and shechted the animal. But it doesn't matter, because the fact that somebody else shechted the animal, it's kosher anyway. You don't have to be the owner to shech the animal. You can perform a valid shechita even if you don't own the animal. So if maybe somebody overheard my instructions and he went off and shechted the animal himself, even though he was not appointed, maybe it wasn't the shliach. So I can eat the animal. I can eat the meat, which is not the case by the chuma. Says the Gemara, this is a little bit counterintuitive, but the Gemara says we have to be afraid that the shliach never fulfilled his shlichas and he was not the one who separated the truma. Perhaps somebody overheard and someone else went and separated the truma. And we've discussed this before. You cannot separate, you're not authorized to separate somebody else's truma unless you are a shliach, unless you were specifically instructed to do so. So basically, Rav Nachman is consistent with his view that a shliach is not relied upon that he performed his shlichas. The reason why I can rely on the shechita is because even if it wasn't the shliach who shechted, it's kosher anyway. You don't have to be authorized to shech. Roiv mitzui neitzel shechita mumchen. Most people that take the initiative to shech, they know how to shech. So the animal is kosher regardless. But when it comes to the truma, how do we know for sure that it was the authorized person who took the truma? Maybe somebody else overheard and thought he was doing a good deed and separated the truma, but since he wasn't authorized to separate the truma, the tithe was void, and therefore I would be eating tevel. So what do we see from the Gemara? And this is the outcome, this is the maskana, the conclusion of the Gemara in Cholin. What do we see from the Gemara? We see from the Gemara that we cannot rely on a shliach when it comes to a deraisa. So you can eat the meat because it doesn't matter if he was a shliach, but you cannot eat the produce without double checking or without retithing it, because perhaps someone else tithed the produce. Now, Tosfos in Eirvin says, in the name of Rabbeinu Shimshin Mipor Liria, I don't know where that is, he paskens like Rav Sheshes. Tosfos has an interesting clout. When it comes to money matters, we pasken like Rav Nachman. When it comes to Isser Veheter, we pasken like Rav Sheshes. Since the question of relying on a shliach is mostly relevant to Isser Veheter, we can paskin like Rav Sheshes, like the Bahag says. However, Rabbeinu Tam, he cites the Gemara in Chulin that we just cited, even though the Gemara in Chulin was Rav Nachman talking, and we know that Rav Nachman's opinion anyway is that you can't rely on a shliach, but since the Gemara concludes that way and takes Rav Nachman's ruling at face value, that shows us that in this case, the halacha follows Rav Nachman, and you cannot rely on a shliach performing his shlichas, even though you went and found that seemingly the produce was tithed. Who said that the shliach did it? Maybe he slacked off. Maybe somebody else overheard your wishes and went and attempted to tithe the produce. We can't guarantee that it was the shliach himself, and therefore he wasn't authorized to tithe the produce, and you'll have to tithe the produce again. We see from the Gemara conclusively that we paskin, you cannot rely on shliach oisah shlichusoi when it comes to a doraisa. That's what.
Is this shliach avrumchem? Is he an expert in this field? Is that why we're relying specifically on him and nobody else?
When it comes to truma or shchita?
Yeah, when it comes to truma.
To truma? So when it comes to truma.
You're saying by shchita, everybody who does shchita is assuming he's a avrumchem and knows 100% what he's doing.
Right.
And no one else would attempt it. So by truma, if I appoint a shliach, you know, so he could be just as good as the next guy.
Good question. Right. So, a great question. So that the answer is that when it comes to shechita, as long as you know what you're doing, the meat will be kosher, whether you had permission to shecht or not. When it comes to tithing someone else's produce, you have to be an actual shliach. You had to have received authorization from the mouth of the owner. So what we're afraid is that I appointed you to go off and take my tithe, to tithe my produce. Someone else might have overheard, and he might have taken the tithe, but he was not authorized to do it, so it won't be effective, because separating truma is a chalois. Separating truma is something that you need a bailus. You have to be authorized to do that. Shechita is just a simple, is an act. You don't have to own the animal in order to be to perform a valid shlita. When it comes to truma, you have to be authorized. You have to either be the owner or you have to be authorized by the owner. You can't perform a transaction on somebody else's behalf without being authorized. So that's why Rav Nachman says we have to be afraid that the shliach slacked off. Perhaps someone else separated the truma, and we see the extent of how much you how unreliable people are. But even though the circumstance seems to show that he took the truma, we have to be so concerned that someone else overheard and the shliach slacked off. Now the Ri, Rabbeinu Yitzchak, says that Gemara in Chulin is different. The Gemara in Chulin, true, you can't rely on the shliach, but that's not what Rav Sheshes was talking about. Rav Sheshes was talking about a case where the shliach realizes that you're relying on him, and if he slacks off, the mishaleach, the principal, will be in violation of something. So, for example, going back to the story of the Gemara, if I send you off to set up an Erev Tchumen, so I'm relying on you. If you don't set up the Erev Tchumen, I might walk out of my tchum illegally. You know that I'm relying on you. Or let's say the case of the Gemara of Chadash and Yashin. The Beis Din realizes that you're relying on them. And if they slack off, everybody's going to be eating Chadash illegally before the Omer was brought. That's when Rav Sheshes says that you can rely on the person because he knows that you're relying on him. But when it comes to Shechita and when it comes to Truma, the Shliach does not really think you're relying on him. Why? Because the Shliach says to himself, if I don't get around to Shech the animal, then you'll see the animal was not Shechted. Or if I don't get around to separating the truma and the miser, you'll see that there's no pile of truma next to the big pile. So the shliach doesn't feel the sense of urgency. He doesn't feel that you're really relying. Nothing bad will happen if I have a change of heart and don't perform my shlichas. The shliach did not anticipate that someone else would overhear and separate the truma and then the owner is going to mess up. The shliach doesn't anticipate that. He doesn't. He's not asik adaite. So if I ask you to separate the truma for me, so you know that if you don't get around to it, I'm not going to eat the produce. There's no danger of any violation. I'm asking you to do me a favor if I ask you to shech the animal for me. So you didn't anticipate that somebody else would shech the animal. So what's the worst case scenario? What do you expect to happen? That if you don't get around to shechting it, so I'll go to the animal and see that it's still alive. Or I'll go to the pile and see that the truma was not yet separated. I'm not going to eat tevel. I'm not going to eat the unpiled produce. In this case, you had no idea that somebody else might overhear and separate and give it the false sense that the truma was separated. You had no idea that would happen. So if that's the case, that's when the Gemara says in Chulin you can't rely on the shliach. But Rav Sheshes is talking about a case where the shliach knows that if he doesn't fulfill the shlichas, you're going to be in violation. So it would seem, Rabbeinu Tam says that the Gemara in Chulin is a refutation of Rav Sheshes, and the Ri says no, because Rav Sheshes is talking about a case when he knows that you're relying on him regarding Isser V'Heter. So the Mefarshim explain, and this is quite obvious, that the way the Rabbeinu Tam understood Rav Sheshes, Rabbeinu Tam understood Rav Sheshes that if somebody says he's going to do something, he's going to do it. A person keeps his word. So since the Gemara in Chulin says that you can't rely on that, that serves as a refutation to Rav Sheshes. However, the Ri, Rabbeinu Yitzchak, understands Rav Sheshes that it's a cheskes kashrus, that the shliach would never allow you to sin. He takes his responsibility seriously not to allow you to sin. If I'm relying on you, otherwise I'm going to commit an aveira, then you're serious about it. But if it's something that it's just a casual agreement, because worse comes to worse, the animal will still be alive or the truma will be untithed, where you don't anticipate that a mistake could occur. You realize that you assume that I'll be able to tell that the truma was not taken. That's when the shliach is not reliable. So we actually have a machlokes between the Baalei Tosfos, if we paskin like Rav Nachman, or if we paskin like Rav Sheshes, when the shliach is aware of the fact that you risk sinning when you're relying on him. In Yoredeya, Simon Shin Lamed Aleph, that's in Hilchas Truma. So the Shulchan Aruch passes like Rav Nachman, like Rabbeinu Tam, that you can't rely on a shliach. The Ramah paskins like Rabbeinu Shimshon and like the Ri, that when the Shliach realizes that you're relying on him and you're at risk of sinning, then we paskin like Rav Sheshes that you could rely on the Shliach. In Orach Chaim, in Tuf Tes, these are actually the halachas with the Erev Tchum, and this was the original case in the Gemara and Erevin, so we paskin that you can rely on a Shliach, that he set up the Erev Tchumen properly, because it's only in a Siddur Rabbanan, that's for sure. And the Mishnah Brura in Sifkat Nun, Tuf Tes, 409, Sifkat Nun, this is the item Yud Beis in the notes, so the Mishnah Brura brings that there are those who paskin like Rav Sheshes, that you can even rely on a Shliach when it comes to Doraisa, as long as the Shliach is aware that you're relying on him, and if he doesn't fulfill his Shlichas, then he'll cause you to sin. That's the machlokes that we've been learning, and two opinions are paskin and Shulchan Aruch. Now, the Noid of Yehuda, so now Rav Shlomo, this is what you were asking. The Noid of Yehuda has an interesting case. We spoke out of Noid of Yehuda last time as well. The Noid of Yehuda has an interesting case. If a man sends a Shliach out to divorce his wife, he's sending a Shliach out to divorce his wife. Now, the halacha is, nowadays, not in the case of the Gemara, nowadays, a man is not allowed, Ashkenazim at least, are not allowed to marry two wives under penalty of the Cherem, the Rabbeinu Gershom. So a Cherem is like being excommunicated. It's like violating a serious oath. The question was posed to the Noid of Yehuda. Back in those days, there was no poor communication. So a man sent a Shliach off to deliver a get to his wife, to his estranged wife. He wants to go and marry another woman. Can he rely, can the husband rely that his friend, the Shliach, successfully delivered the get? There's no way to communicate with the Shliach. Can I marry another woman? So the Noit of Yehuda, he goes back and forth about whether or not the Cherem de Rabbeinu Gershom, this Cherem, this curse, if a person violates the Takana of Rabbeinu Gershom, he's put in Cherem. Does that have the status of a Doraisa? Because the Psukim in Tanakh talk about the concept of Cherem, or is that only considered rabbinic? If it's considered rabbinic, then presumably you can rely on the Shliach, because it's like Erev Tchumen, you can rely on a Shliach when it comes to Isuri Drabban. However, if the Cherem is considered Doraisa, then you're subject to the Machleges of the Rabbeinu Shimshin and the Rabbeinu Tam, if we paskin like Rav Sheshes or not. So that was the question posed to the Noid of Yehuda. But the Noid of Yehuda totally dismisses the question. He says, first of all, I personally hold like Rav Sheshes that you can rely, you're permitted to rely on a Shliach, even when it comes to a Doraisa. But remember the Tosis that we quoted before in Gittin. Tosis in Gittin says that you can only rely on the agent when it's totally within his ability to perform his Shlichas, when it's totally up to him. Like shechting, like separating the truma. But when it comes to delivering a get, we spoke about this the other week with Ein Shliach Levar Avera, you're not allowed to give a get against the will of the woman. So therefore, it's not totally beyond the Shliach. Maybe the woman refused to accept the get, and the Shliach is not allowed to deliver the get. So yes, you could rely on the Shliach that he performed his mission and was successful in his mission, even when it comes to Doraisas, that's the personal opinion of the Noid of Yehuda, but not when it depends on somebody else. It's only if it's completely within the power of the Shliach. Now, there's an Achiezer, Rav Chaim Moizer, the great Rav Chaim Moizer, was once asked, and this happens all the time, can we rely on an agent that they delivered Shalach Manis? So maybe you call up the store and you order a Shalach Manis, you want it delivered on Purim Day, or you at your friend is going around, going downtown, going to Lower Merion, and you give, would you mind delivering Shalach Manis for me? So we're not discussing the extra Shalach Manis that we all give. We're talking about the basic obligation. Can I rely on a Shliach that he performed Shalach Manis on my behalf? What's the crux of the issue? Do we treat Shalach Manis like it's Dirabbanan, because it's only a Tekana Derabbanan, in which case you can certainly rely on the Shalach Manis? Or do we assume that since it's Dibrei Kabbalah, because it's written in the Megillah, it's written in Tanakh, so it's like in between Derabbanan and Deraisa? So maybe you would not be allowed to rely. You have to make sure. You have to call him on a cell phone. Sometimes you can't get through. Even in today's day and age, you can't always get through to the person. You sent them a text. He didn't respond. Can I rely on the fact that he delivered the Shalach Manas? So Rav Chaim Weiser says that it depends how you understand Rav Nachman. The reason why Rav Nachman says you cannot rely on the chazakah of a shliach oisa shlichusai, if we still treat it as a suffix, so then there are those who say that a suffix divrei kabbalah, a suffix of something that's written in Tanakh, is like a deraisa. So you wouldn't be able to rely on a shliach. But if we treat the chazakah of a shliach oisa shlichusai as something that you are allowed to rely on, it's only a chumra derabanan that you can't rely on it for deraisa, then perhaps when it came to the Shalach Manas, we could rely, because really it's something that we could technically rely on. So Rav Chaim Moiser leaves it as a question. I'm just throwing out some interesting applications of this halakha. Most of the time it's not relevant, because you could always double check, and you can call the shliach and ask if he delivered, if he was successful in delivering the Shalach Manas. But sometimes you can't get through. Would you be able to rely? There's another fascinating psak from the Ein Yitzchak, from the Goyim Rabbi Chanan Spector. So Loyalenu wrote Loyalenu, it should never happen that a man once asked his friend to deliver a letter. Would you mind delivering this letter? It's relevant to my business. It's a serious, it's an important letter. Maybe I have to pay my bills, otherwise they're going to turn off my electricity. So I'm giving you an important letter. If you don't mind delivering it, dropping it in the mailbox. So, lo and behold, the recipient of the letter never received the letter. He never received the letter. So, what's going on? My friend is reliable. I asked him. I told him it was important. He normally is reliable. Why didn't he deliver the letter? It's a question. Because he's a reliable person. Now, what happened was, God forbid, we found that a Jew was murdered on the road, and the body is not identifiable. So, we don't know who this body is. Can we rely that this man who was killed was my friend who was supposed to deliver this letter? So the neighborhood Gentiles are saying that they heard somebody was killed here. So this is a big iguna shaila. And the woman, was she permitted to remarry or not? So it's a long tshuva from Rav Yitzchak Elchanan Spector, the great Kovner Rav. And he ends up at the end permitting that there's enough circumstantial evidence that this man was indeed the person who was this woman's husband. One of the things he considers there is the fact that a shliach is oisa shlichusai. The fact that there's a chazaka, that a person does his shlichus. Now, he's taking it out of context, because the Gemara was talking about iser v'heter. So he's really a leap of faith. The same way Rav Sheshe says you can rely on a shlichus when he knows you're relying on him for iser v'heter. So Rav Yitzchak Elchanan Spector, he takes the leap of faith that perhaps you can rely on a shliach if the shliach knows that your business depends on it, that paying your bill, something urgent in the area of money matters, maybe you have the chazakah. So he uses this as a consideration. He doesn't completely rely on this, but this is one of the sniffim, one of the considerations that he uses to circumstantially identify the body, the nirtzach, that maybe this was the person. Because since he's normally a reliable person, he normally delivers the letters. In this case, the letter was never received. So that would be another indication that he was the murdered victim, and therefore perhaps we can use, that can help build the case to permit the woman to remarry. Now, the Chofetz Chaim...
There was another indicia that this was the same route or the same direction.
Yeah. So he was found on the route. So there was a lot of circumstantial evidence there that, and he uses this as one of his sniffing. Now, the Chafetz Chaim in Avos Chesed, we once talked about paying workers on time. The Chafetz Chaim leaves it as a question: if I give money to you to pay my worker on time, can I assume that you did it, or do I have to double check? And this is, again, this is a question of relying on a shliach midoy raisa. Yeah, so I would assume if he actually has the letter, then that would be proof. You know, it's a simon, but they weren't, apparently in the tshuva there, they weren't able to find all the, it was just a body that was laid, stripped, and just laid in the street, in the gutter. Now, the Chofetz Chaim wants to know if you can rely on a shliach to pay your worker on time. So again, according to Rav Sheshes, so he knows you're relying on him and you're at risk of violation. According to Rav Nachman, he says you cannot rely on a shliach for a deraisa, so the halacha would depend if we paskin like Rav Sheshes or we paskin like Rav Nachman. It will be subject to this debate. In our day and age, you would have to double check and see if the shliach indeed fulfilled his shlichas. One nice idea I want to leave you with is that in Sefer Tshuvas v'Hanhagos, the Rav Moshe Sternbach, see, he says perhaps this is where the minhag came from to pay the Rav when he's selling your chametz for you, because how can you assume? How do you know that he really sold the chametz? You might have $100 worth of chametz. How are you sure that he really sold the chametz? The answer is you're relying on the Rav. So it depends on the machlekes of Nachman and of Sheshes. Some people say, well, we're mavatal the chametz anyway, so it's only the Rabbanan. Some people say you only are mavatal the other chametz, not the chametz that you plan to sell. So how do you know you can rely on the Rav? So based on an Arach HaShulchan, if you pay the shliach, so then that obligates him even more, then even Rav Nachman would agree that you can rely on the shliach. So this might have been the origins of the minug to pay the Rav. The Poskim say it's nice to pay the Rav. If the Rav is on salary anyway, so then that might be among his duties. It might be considered that he already was paid. Okay, Yasha Koyach, everybody.